This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher.
Well, hi, everyone. I hope this has been a decent week for you. You know, to say dieting is a big issue in our lives as we get older is probably, it's fair to say, is an understatement. After all, for many of us, it becomes more of an obsession. That's one reason why here at Bloomer Boomer, we have a major category about diet, and hopefully between the articles and podcasts you find here, you'll find a solution that fits you. So anyway, to today's guest, because she's someone who admits to the obsession part of dieting and has taken it a step further, becoming a certified eating psychology coach. Now, her name is Mindy Gorman-Plutzer, and she is author of The Freedom Promise, 7 Steps to Stop Fearing What Food Will Do to You and Embrace What It Can Do for You. I guess it's good to share our obsessions, Mindy. So first, thank you for joining us. And what about that obsession we mentioned?
It really, truly is my pleasure, Andy. To say that I've always had an interest in nutrition would not necessarily be accurate, because my interest and my draw was basically to dieting, and the obsession became about what food would do to me. I started counting calories in my early teens in an effort to lose a few prepubescent pounds, and that quickly escalated into disordered eating behaviors that took me through my 40s. And it really wasn't until my 40s, and certainly cemented in my 50s, that I realized I needed to change my thinking, to change my mind, in order to change my body and how I felt about it. And for me, that became about stopping the fear about what food would do to me and embrace what it could do for me.
You know, the issue about diet is so complicated. I mean, it's so much more than just the food we eat. It's about our lives. It's about our troubles. It's about our joys. But with all that said, you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. I really feel strongly that the first lesson needs to be a letting go. A letting go of our attachment to the story of our lives that we're very often stuck to. And I'm saying this as we're speaking to your audience of people age 50 and up. You know, we have gotten through life by this point with great success, maybe some regret, but nonetheless, here we are. And we've got a lot to show for it. And a lot has worked. For those of us struggling with body image and a constant weight and always looking to lose that last 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds, it has to be about letting go of the story that we're telling ourselves, that we are the way we are because of the way we are. We can reframe it. We can look at where the messages came from and respectfully let them go as we realize they're no longer serving us.
So, of course, food is the source of so much pleasure in our lives, but the irony of it is, of course, is it's also the source of so many of our problems, to say the least of which are the physical problems that it can cause.
But for many, food has become a way to cope with a tough day, a situation worth celebrating. And we are basically inclined, for lack of a better term, to reach for the sweet, the processed carbs, the poor quality carbs, because, let's face it, we were told as young children that if we were good little boys and girls, we'd get a lollipop. If we let the doctor examine us, you know, or we came home from school and we sat down to milk and cookies. So the rewards were always deliciously sweet. And that has followed us. And it's not a bad thing, but it becomes problematic when our health suffers as a consequence. So let's talk to that issue, if health, that you're getting to with the diabetes. You know, if there are consequences, this is a situation where we need to, number one, accept what's going on, accept that we have issues that need to be addressed, and to look at the behavior, see how it's no longer serving us, and think about undoing rather than doing, adding more to our to-do list. So what can we do to make ourselves feel better that is not food-related? Create a personal nourishment menu, as I like to call it. What makes you feel great that has nothing to do with what's served on a plate?
So, Mindy, let's get down to what you actually do in your type of work. Where do you begin?
Well, as a certified eating psychology coach, my focus with clients is not only on what they're eating, but how, why, and when they're eating. And that would be my approach with a client such as you're describing. It would be a question of, how are you eating? Are you eating slowly? Are you eating mindfully? Are you actually tasting your food? Are you making it an experience? Or is it, are you eating in an effort so as not to feel the emotion, as opposed to eating with emotion? That would be number one. Why are you eating? Are you eating because you're physically hungry, or is it to serve an emotional hunger or a toxic hunger? When are you eating? Our bodies are designed to be the most metabolically active and effective when the sun is highest in the sky. The American culture works against that. So many adults, in an effort to be good, wake up to a paltry breakfast. They're counting calories. They've got a skimpy lunch. By mid-afternoon, they're hungry. They might be nutrient-deprived. They're going to start craving. When we're craving food, very often we crave what our minds tell us we want, which is going to be that salty, sweet, creamy, crunchy food. We're not thinking about eating a salad or a plate of vegetables. Then what happens is we come home from the end of the day, we're tired, we're stressed, and that meal becomes our largest meal. And then there's the whole ritual of late-night snacking. So we're actually working against our body's rhythm instead of with it. So that's the how, the why, and the when. When those three issues are addressed, and it takes time and it takes practice, and it is by no means an easy task, the what seems to take care of itself, because when we're able to be aware, we can make conscious choices. Those choices become empowered choices when we're paying attention to what our bodies want as opposed to what our minds want. And then it becomes empowered choice over willpower. Willpower doesn't work. Willpower implies restriction. It implies deprivation. And then that whole piece about self-indulgence, I had a hard day, I deserve it. I'm tired, I deserve it. I had a great day, I deserve it. But that self-indulgence in an effort not to feel deprived only serves to deprive us from the good health and the fully nourished life that we so desire.
And Mindy, there are so many of us who will look at ourselves in the mirror in our private moments, and we'll just wonder, it's so daunting, where to begin?
It's not when you look at it a meal at a time. It's less overwhelming when you think in terms of the plentiful, wonderful foods that are available to us, as opposed to the short list of what we should be avoiding. And basically that comes down to processed food and refined carbohydrates and trans fats. A diet that is made up of lean protein, vegetables, fruits, and healthy fats and natural grains will be a diet that the calories take care of itself, the phytonutrients are there, give you energy, give you better sleep, the pounds come off effortlessly when the effort is towards making those empowered choices as opposed to the overwhelming thoughts of, I've got to make my body go away.
So let's take a case, say tomorrow, someone's listened to this and they said, okay, I'm going to start. What's the first step and each step after that?
The first step is to pay attention to who they are as an eater, okay? Or where's the stress in their lives? When they sit down to a meal, I would suggest starting to initiate a practice of taking a deep breath, grounding yourself, paying attention to what you're eating and how you're eating it. Are you enjoying what you're eating, really? Or is the latest diet book telling you what to eat? That would be step number one. Step number two would be to eliminate all processed food. Tweak the diet slowly. Start by looking at who you are as an eater. That's how I work with my clients, and that's where I find the greatest success. Because by getting rid of all the quote-unquote bad food, and that's another issue I really want to address, that invokes those feelings of willpower and deprivation. We want to create the feelings and promote the concept of making empowered choices because you're going to feel better.
So bad food, there's a lot of that out there, isn't there?
You know, there is, but we have to look at what it really is. You know, food is food, and very often we've created this mythical power to and assigned it to the food. When we take the moral dilemma off the food and realize that food is only food, it's neutral, again, we can make better choices. And that's totally psychological. You know, that's about, you know, the forbidden fruit theory. I very often use the analogy of a knife. A knife in the hands of a criminal is a weapon. A knife in the hands of a chef is a tool of artistry. So there's no bad food. It's how it makes you feel, how it impacts your health, and are you eating it to nourish yourself or to punish yourself?
Punish yourself with food in the sense that you overeat or eat things that aren't good for you.
Yeah, you know, and many emotional eaters eat in an effort to check out of their feelings. Sometimes the extra weight serves as protection. You know, there are a lot of issues. In my line of work, weight is merely a symptom for things that are going on underneath. You know, the seventh step in the Seven Steps to Food Freedom from the book I recently wrote talks about making sure you nourish you surround yourself with what truly nourishes you. And those are relationships, a form of spirituality that you can connect to, movement that makes you feel alive rather than punishing to make your body go away. When we can connect to those things, we don't look to fill ourselves up with food.
And I have a lot of friends who struggle with diet and weight, and one in particular that comes to mind right now is a friend that actually told me once that she hates to exercise. I mean, that is such a tough point to begin from. But you're the expert. Where do you go? How do you start?
I would think that this woman would be very well served spending time connecting to her body. You know, when we're stuck in our heads, when it's all a question of our thoughts, which morph into beliefs, and we stay stuck in those beliefs, we stay up there and we lose connection with the part of ourselves that we need to embrace. And that's a whole different discussion.
So that's a matter of your life decisions and choices that you make, and I guess how you need to maybe reinvent yourself a little bit.
you know, a lot of us, Andy, spend our lives doing as opposed to being. You know, we've raised families, we've had careers, we've been in relationships. In our 50s, perhaps we've suffered great loss, loss of a spouse, loss of a job, loss of a career, losing our friends, losing our good health. You know, there's a lot of loss which brings about stress, and how we cope with that has a huge impact on our health and the choices we make that in turn impact our health. And you talk about reinvention, you know, I myself experienced that. You know, I mentioned before that I had this long career with disordered eating, and then when I was 47 years old, my husband of 26 years was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he lost that battle about 2 years later. And I found myself widowed and a single mom at 49 years old. And it was a pretty dark time. And I was doing. And I was doing okay. I was really highly functioning because I was saying all the right things and I was showing up in all the right places. But I had no place inside of myself to come home to. All that doing was keeping me on the outside of myself. And I resorted to very unhealthy self-abusive behaviors in order to stay there. Once I realized that what I was fearing was not going to destroy me, I found a place within myself that I could come home to. And from there, I was able to heal and let go of those behaviors that ultimately could have killed me.
So really, the irony of a lot of this is the fact that it's not food at all, but a lot of other things that are going on.
It's how, you know, how we do one thing is how we do everything. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
Yes, it's. I have. It's. I need to live it more, though.
But you know, when we clear the clutter in our lives, you know, get rid of what is no longer serving us, we make room for so much positive energy to come in, and by getting rid of the clutter, the negativity, we can only receive positive.
So, Mindy, we've talked about your book, The Freedom Promise, 7 Steps to Stop Fearing What Food Will Do to You and Embrace What It Can Do for You. But what's the next alternative for someone who's seeking help? Where do they begin?
I am a certified eating psychology coach, a certified health coach, and a nutritionist, and so of course I'm going to tell your listeners that they should seek professional help if they feel it's something they can't do themselves. With the support of a professional or a coach, you've got somebody to walk beside you, to guide you through, to hold you accountable, to help you learn and develop strategies to deal with what's going on where you are now. You know, if you feel that you need deeper psychological help, absolutely employ a therapist. There's no reason in this day and age to struggle alone. Reach out to friends, reach out to loved ones, find a support group if that's your inclination. I think that there is power in numbers. There is tremendous power in fellowship.
And as we wind up today, Mindy, tell us a little bit more about your book, what motivated you to write it, what's behind it, maybe the backstory, if you will.
Okay. Well, my book, The Freedom Promise, 7 Steps to Stop Fearing What Food Will Do to You and Embrace What It Can Do for You, chronicles my struggle with disordered eating, and it lays out strategies that I use and that I share with my clients. Every chapter, FREEDOM, starts with an anecdotal story about what it was like for me, gives you the philosophy, the strategies, ends with very practical action steps, a journal question that is related to the preceding chapter, recommendations for further reading, and elaborate resources. The main message of the book is about letting go. It's about acceptance, compassion, forgiveness that comes when you find that space of sacred solitude you can always come home to. And I've been getting a lot of feedback from people who are finding it helpful in areas of their lives other than food. Somebody the other day related to me that she's stuck in a marriage that she felt was hopeless. Somebody else told me that it would help them in how she was speaking to her daughter. So the message can be sculpted to what you need it to be, but I wrote it for people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, for people who want to get off the diet roller coaster, for people who don't know where to start, and for people who want to try it on their own and know that they're not alone and that they have a trusted companion.
And finally, Mindy, some steps or actions that people can take right now and get started on improving their diet and improving their health.
The first step would be to know that you are exactly where you're meant to be. And whatever experiences you've had in your life, whether they've been struggles, successes, disappointments, got you to where you are right now. So it's all a blessing, because even if you feel that you are somewhere now that you wish you weren't, that knowledge, that awareness is what's going to give you the impetus to go forward. So it becomes about moving forward rather than staying stuck. And we need to know that we all have the ability to dig deeper, try harder, not because we have to, but because we get to.
Hey, that's a great way to wind it up. Thanks so much, Mindy.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Really, truly my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. Thanks again.